Here is a recent video in which General Dan Kane explains how he briefed President Trump on the recent Venezuela operation. Watch the video first, and then I'll explain.
How are you advising the president on Venezuela?
Carefully. I joke about that, but our job is to present, and my job with the Joint Chiefs and others, is to present the range of options that this president or any president should consider with all of the secondary and tertiary considerations that go into those options so that a president can make whatever decision he wants to make. And then we deliver. And so we are always presenting options through the great work of our armed forces and our services, through the great work of our combatant commanders, all the way down to the youngest service member. And I wouldn't want to share any particular advice or options that we're giving, but we present a lot of.
He is General Dan Kane, the current chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the United States military. He is the nation's highest-ranking military officer and serves as the principal military advisor to the President, the Secretary of Defense, and the National Security Council. So when he says that his job is to present a range of options to the US President, understand this. This is the real deal that never gets talked about on TV. This is the quiet layered decision tree behind every major US military or geopolitical action. When the chairman of the Joint Chiefs briefs the president, he doesn't say attack or don't attack. He presents packages of options, and each package already includes ripples, blowback, second order and third order effects that have been thought through in advance. First, I'm going to tell you about the range of options he's talking about. These are usually presented in three broad categories depending on what outcome you want to achieve. The first one is gray zone options. These are usually invisible. The purpose of these actions is to change behavior without visible war. The second option, these are the actions that can be actively denied. The purpose here is to send a message, test reactions, and avoid full escalation. The third option is direct military force. And the purpose here is to force a strategic outcome quickly. And you can clearly see that the third option was chosen by President Trump against Venezuela to remove Maduro and change the political landscape of the country. Now, when General Kane says he doesn't just give the president options, but also the secondary and tertiary considerations, this is what he means. He not only explains what the US can do, he also explains what will happen after that. These are the real secondary considerations, the part they never say publicly. These are briefed in separate categories. The first category is market and financial shock. They ask questions like what happens to oil, shipping insurance, dollar funding markets, gold, silver bonds, emerging market currencies, who gets margin called, which banks break, which allies get hit harder than the enemy. And the second consequence is global alignment shift. Now here they ask questions like, will this push the affected country towards Russia or China? Will it trigger BRICS retaliation? Will it split Europe internally? Will it accelerate de-dollarization in any form? And more importantly, who quietly starts hedging against the US after this? Now the third consequence is mapping the escalation ladder. For every action, there is an opposite reaction. Even here, the questions that are asked are, for every action, what is the enemy's most likely response? What is their most dangerous response? What is their asymmetric response? Will it be terror, shipping attacks, infrastructure sabotage, cyber chaos, or attacks on the US allies instead of the US? And the fourth consideration is supply chain warfare. Here they ask questions like, what will break? Rare earth minerals, energy routes, fertilizer, semiconductors, shipping choke points? Which US industry gets hit first? Which allies' government collapses because of inflation? And the fifth consideration they put is regarding domestic political stability. And here they ask questions like, does this operation spike fuel prices before elections? Will it cause market crash? Will it trigger protests? Will it fracture Congress or coalition partners? So you see, all of this is modeled before any strike happens. These are the secondary considerations. Now let's go to the tertiary considerations, the real hidden stuff. This is empire-level chess. Before striking a country, they don't just plan moves. They simulate entire chains of history. They ask, will this strike shake the dollar system? Will it fracture alliances? Will it redraw global power flows? Will it push neutral countries to build parallel systems? Will it weaken US financial hegemony long term, even if America wins militarily? This is not tactics, this is civilization scale strategy. And then there is also the precedent risk. They also think about this. If we do this once, who else will feel free to do it tomorrow? Because China will study it for Taiwan, Russia will study it for Europe. Everyone studies it to learn how to bypass US power. And then there is also strategic asset exposure. Here they ask questions like, does this reveal US cyber capabilities? Does it expose satellite weaknesses? Does it give away electronic warfare methods? Because some weapons are not just powerful, they are more valuable when nobody knows they exist. Once you use them, the mystery is gone. And once the mystery is gone, the enemy starts building counters. Did you notice how the lights went out across Caracas all at once? That wasn't just a blackout, that was a message. A controlled reveal. Which is why sometimes the strongest move in empire level chess is not the strike you make, but the power you choose not to show. And then they also do regime collapse chaos modeling. Because toppling a government is easy. Controlling what comes after it is the real war. They ask questions like, if this regime falls, who controls the strategic weapons? Who controls the oil fields? Who controls the militias? And then the real question is, what kind of country do you get afterward? Another Libya? Another Iraq? Another Syria? Or something even worse? This is the nightmare scenario, not the fall of the regime, but the vacuum it leaves behind. And then they also have to go through the system stress test. Every major move is judged not just by whether it wins, but by a much bigger question. Does this push the global system towards fracture? Or does it keep it under US management? Because there's another layer, if America can do this to one country, then every country starts asking, can they do this to us too? Allies get nervous. Neutral countries start hedging, rivals start accelerating alternatives, and that's how systems silently break, which is why sometimes you can win the war and still lose the system. You defeat the enemy, but you teach the whole world that rules no longer protect anyone. And for an empire, that's not a victory. That's a strategic self-destruction. Now the question is, how are these options actually presented to the president? It is usually like this. Option A, low visibility, slow burn, minimal blowback. Low chance of decisive result. Then option B, medium visibility, controlled escalation, manageable political and market impact. Then option C, high visibility, fast outcome, and high systemic risk. But that is just the surface. Each option comes with a full consequence matrix. Probability of success, estimated casualties, market and economic impact, alliance and diplomatic fallout, escalation and retaliation risk, and the most dangerous category of all, the unknown and the unknowns. So, the president is not choosing between three actions, he's choosing between three different futures. And here comes the dark truth. Very often, the real question is not can we do it. The real question is, does the global system survive if we do? Because at the highest level of power, capability is rarely the limit. The real limit is what the world can absorb without breaking. And that is the burden of empire-level decision-making. I hope you found this video informative. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next one.